us bow our heads in prayer. Lord, every day needs to be a day of thanksgiving to you. Lord, this is a special time of the year when we focus on thanksgiving, to remind ourselves the importance of thanksgiving and how powerful it is in our lives. So Lord, as we push away the things of this world, the business of life, and focus on you this morning, help us to remember the priority of thankfulness that needs to be in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I think that most of us would agree that we live in a pretty crazy world. There's a lot going on all of the time. Surprising things, shocking things. Things not only in the world, but things in our lives, things in our church. Some things are good and some things aren't so good. But above all of that, there is something very powerful that we can use in our lives to live above the world around us, and that is thankfulness. Thankfulness gives glory to the Lord in the good times. It builds our faith in the bad times. And thankfulness helps carry us through as we look to Jesus. It isn't surprising then that the Bible talks a lot about being thankful. Not only does thankfulness bring glory to the Lord, it is a powerful way for us to connect with the Lord no matter what we are facing in life. Today we are celebrating Thanksgiving as a nation. Unfortunately, as you know, there are many people out there in our nation who don't know who to be thankful to this morning. Or if they do, they don't want to humble themselves to thank God for all the blessings that they have. But for us, Thanksgiving should be easy. Not only do we come together this morning to give thanks to the Lord, but you and I have so much to be thankful for. Even when life is throwing everything it has against us, we can be thankful that the Lord is with us and walking with us through the storms of life. But today is a very special Thanksgiving Sunday, because today it is also Communion Sunday. So today, we should be thankful for what Jesus has done for us. He purchased our salvation by his sacrifice upon the cross. Because of him and his creative power, we have the gift of life and the gift of eternal life. He has made it possible for us to have an awesome relationship with our Creator. And he has given us the authority and the power to have victory in our Christian lives, and to be more than conquerors in our daily lives. You and I have so much to be thankful for. In fact, our prayers should be mostly thanksgiving for all that the Lord has done and continues to do in our lives. Human nature, though, tends to want to look at the negatives of life. But even in those negative things, there is reason to give thanks. I've shared this before, but I'll do it again to get the point across. Someone once wrote, "I'm thankful for the taxes I pay because it means I have an income. The clothes that fit a little too snug because it means that I have enough to eat. A lawn that needs mowing, windows that need washing, and gutters that need cleaning because it means that I have a home. My huge heating bill because it means that I am warm. And the piles of laundry, because it means that I have loved ones nearby." Even in these irritations of life, we have reasons to be thankful. We are a people who have been blessed by God in so many, many ways. On some other national holidays, as I said to the children, people make lists. You have the Christmas wish list and you have the New Year's resolutions. I think that all of us should take the time to sit down and write down a Thanksgiving list. Even if you think that the whole world is against you, that there are more hardships than successes, more questions than answers, making a Thanksgiving list and putting some real effort into it will show you that things aren't nearly as bad as as you may have thought. And I'm not just talking about material possessions, because they are the least important things in our lives, or at least they should be. Besides being thankful for the obvious things like life, health, family and friends, and the nation in which we live despite its flaws, we should continually be thankful for our salvation and for the mercy and for the grace that the Lord showers upon us. Because of Jesus, we have so much to be thankful for, not just at this time of year, but every minute of every day of our lives. When I sometimes think about what life is like now, I often reflect on what life was like many years ago in our country. There's an old cedar barn that we can see from our house. It was constructed by the very first settlers to our area. And I often think about what life was like for them. Many left everything to come to a new country. There was no central government to help them build their homes. No transportation except for their legs. Their food was what they could produce or hunt or fish for. Their heat in winter came from the woods and the forests. They had no money, and even if they did, they had nowhere to spend it. They had no amusements, no way to communicate with loved ones and friends who lived further than a few miles away. They had no social safety nets, no retirement packages, no welfare, no OHIP, no doctor or hospital to run to when their children were dying of a fever. They, by our standards today, had nothing at all. Yet despite all of this, these people set aside a day to thank Almighty God for His many blessings. You know, many people think that it was the Americans who began the Thanksgiving tradition in North America. But in 1578, 42 years before the American pilgrims arrived in Plymouth, Massachusetts, English explorer Martin Frobisher held the first Thanksgiving celebration in North America in Newfoundland. He and his crew were giving thanks for their safe return from a treacherous exploration of the Northwest Passage and for their safe arrival in the New World. I don't think that anyone today can even comprehend the difficulties that these people faced. But yet, they were thankful. These people had initiative. They had courage. They had a willingness to work. But most importantly, many of them had a boundless faith in God. Contrast that to today, when we as a nation have more than enough of what we could ever need, and even more than enough of what we could ever want. And yet, we are a nation that is pushing God out, pushing God away. A nation where there are forces at work to strip us of our Christian heritage, where people feel self-sufficient and don't even want God in their lives. I wonder that with that attitude, how long our blessings will last. As some of you may know, Canada's official motto is from sea to sea. But did you know that our founders got that motto from Psalm 72, verse 8, which says, "He, that is God, shall have dominion from sea to sea, and from the river unto the ends of the earth." Wow, how things have changed. But you and I are called to carry on the faith and to be thankful to the Lord at all times. Thanksgiving is truly a distinctive holiday. It doesn't commemorate a war or someone's birthday. It was a day that was set aside for the citizens of our country to express our thanks to our nation's God. How many in our nation will be truly thankful to their Creator today? You would think that because of our heritage, because we have so many blessings in our nation, that we would be an extremely thankful people. But as you know, it is often just the opposite. The more we get, it seems, the less thankful we become, and the less mindful of God we are. And in turn, we want more, because the hole in our heart gets bigger and bigger and bigger, so we try and fill it with the things of the world. In a certain area of Mexico, there are hot springs and cold springs that are found side by side. And because of the convenience of this natural phenomenon, many people bring their clothes there to wash it. They basically boil their clothes in the hot springs and then rinse them in the cold springs. A tourist watching this procedure commented to his Mexican guide, "They must think God is generous to supply such ample clean hot and cold water." The guide replied, "No, senor. There is much grumbling because he does not supply the soap." This morning, our passage of scripture was the 100th Psalm. And I believe that it was written to deal with that kind of attitude. It was written to remind us of our need to be thankful and to maintain an attitude of gratitude. The 100th Psalm was written for the people of Israel. God said to them, "When you come into your promised land and settle down in your homes and you have plenty to eat, don't forget me. I led you out of the wilderness and brought you into a land which is flowing with milk and honey." But it doesn't take us very long to realize that the people of Israel needed a reminder. And I think that all of us do as well. In fact, maybe God had us in mind when the psalm was written. Did you notice to whom it is addressed? The first verse says it is addressed to all the world. And the last verse in the NIV says that it includes all generations. This message of thanksgiving is so deep and wide that it applies to every person, in every era, in every stage of life. So it includes us here this morning. That's why it is sad that there are only a few countries in the world that have a Thanksgiving Day. It kind of makes me wonder how our world would be changed if suddenly all the nations would begin to thank the one true God for all of their blessings. I think there is something about giving thanks together to God that breaks down barriers between people. Much like what occurred as the Berlin Wall began to crumble at the end of the Cold War. Thanksgiving is vitally important. It is a vitally important part of our Christian life. But I think that there is a real danger of determining our thanksgiving on the basis of how much we have. You know how it goes. Do I have enough turkey to gorge myself sufficiently? Is my money in the bank secure? Am I healthy? And we let these things determine whether we are thankful or not. The Bible says that all of these things may change at any time. They may drift away or burn up, or someone may steal them. The only thing that we have for sure is our relationship with the Lord. This is what the 100th Psalm is all about. Just have a closer look at the psalm. In verse 1, you'll find the word Lord. In verse 2, you'll find the word Lord. In verse 3, you'll find the word Lord. In verse 4, it says, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving." And in verse 5, you'll see the word Lord again. The whole point of the 100th Psalm is that the basis of our thanksgiving is the Lord. It is in him that we live and move and have our being. He is the one that we are to enjoy forever. No matter how well you think you have done in life, no matter how self-sufficient we may feel that we are, the Lord needs to be at the center of all of our thankfulness. Alex Haley, who is the author of Roots, had an unusual picture hanging on his office wall. It was a picture of a turtle on top of a fence post. When asked, "Why is that there?" he answered, "Every time that I write something significant, every time I read my words and think that they are wonderful and begin to feel proud of myself, I look at that little turtle on top of the fence post and remember that he didn't get there on his own. He had help." That is the message of thankfulness that we need to remember. To remember that you have what you have only with the help of God, and that he is the provider of every blessing that we have. Now, as we look a little closer at this psalm, we find that There are five commands that it contains. The first command is in verse 1, and it says, "Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth." That word "shout" means to proclaim with the force of a trumpet blast, a shout of joy to the Lord that comes from the very depths of our being. Maybe the Lord has solved your problem. Maybe He is walking with you through the problem. He is, if you've asked Him. Maybe He has given you the direction to go, or the wisdom of what to do. Maybe He has provided the blessing in your life, and you know that all blessings come from the Lord. So from the very depths of your being, you proclaim your praise. Roland Allen, who was a missionary to China, wrote about a veteran missionary who came up to him one day after he had delivered his sermon. The missionary introduced himself and said, "I was a medical missionary many years ago in India, and I served in a region where there was progressive blindness. People were born with healthy vision, but there was something in that area that caused people to lose their sight as they grew older. But this missionary had developed a treatment which would stop that progressive blindness. So people came to him, and he performed the treatment. And they would leave realizing that they would have become completely blind without his help. Because of him, their sight had been saved." He said that these people never said, "Thank you," because that phrase was not in their dialect. Instead, they spoke a word that meant, "I will tell your name." Wherever they went, they would tell the name of the missionary who had cured their blindness. They had received something so wonderful that they went out and eagerly proclaimed it to everyone. And that is exactly what the psalmist is saying here. When you realize how good God has been to you, you just can't keep it inside anymore. From the depths of your being, you express your joy unto the Lord. You remember with thankfulness that He gave you life. He gave you eternal life when you decided to follow Him. He came to give you the abundant life. He takes your brokenness and makes you whole if you let Him. He guides you and leads you the way that you should go. He loves you, He protects you, and He provides all that you will ever need. When you realize that, we just won't be able to keep it to ourselves anymore. The second command in the psalm is, serve the Lord with gladness. It doesn't say, serve the church. It doesn't say, serve the organization. It says, serve the Lord. The Bible teaches that if we feed the hungry, if we clothe the naked, build wells for the thirsty, build Christian schools and churches for the poor, provide medicine for the weak, reach out to our community with the love of Jesus, then we are serving the Lord. In Matthew 25:40, Jesus said, "Whatever you did for one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." Isn't that what Psalm 100 is saying? In whatever you do, serve the Lord with gladness. Out of thankfulness for what He has done and continues to do in our lives, we serve Him by serving others. Look at what the Lord has done for us as a congregation. He has kept us together despite the struggles and the problems that we have faced. He has provided for us miraculously time and time again. And in a few weeks, we will have the opportunity to give back to the Lord some of what He has given first to us. An opportunity to serve the Lord with gladness by providing the needs of others in our own community and in our world. The third command is, come before Him with joyful songs. Psalm 98:4 says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord." And that is what all of us can do in so many different ways. In the privacy of our own homes and in our congregation. Have you noticed that in these first three commands, God has said, "I want you to be happy. Shout for joy. Serve with gladness. And come with joyful songs." The psalmist is saying, come before him and serve him and sing his praise with joy that's within your heart. It's really all very simple. The fourth command is, know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. If you can't really sit down and think about something to be thankful for, then just remember how God took your every bone, your every joint, and he welded them together with sinews and muscles, and covered them with skin and gave us ears that hear, brains that think, and fingers that can pick things up. God made us inside and out. He made you the way he wanted you to be. And he made me the way he wanted me to be, even though there is some room for improvement. That's why the Lord is still making us. That is important to realize, too. He's not satisfied with the unfinished product. He's not satisfied if we have a temper. He's not satisfied with the weak areas of our lives where we give in to temptation. So he's still making us. He's still working in our lives. The Apostle Paul wrote in Philippians 1, 3 and 6, I thank my God every time I remember you, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. God is your maker, and you are created in his image. Therefore, give thanks to him for who you are. Then the psalm says, we are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Well, frankly, most of us want to be shepherds, not sheep. It's not any fun being sheep, people say. But the problem is, we don't know where the still waters and the green pastures are. And every time we go out searching for them on our own, we invariably end up in the far country or in some quicksand that life throws at us. So the Lord says, you be the sheep. Let me be the shepherd. And I will lead you beside the still waters and the green pastures. Just let me lead. Finally, we are told, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. In the Old Testament, the temple symbolized the presence of God. So whenever people came to the temple and entered the courtyards, they knew that they had come into the presence of God. Now that temple no longer exists. But oftentimes the place where we meet to worship God is called a sanctuary, indicating that God is there. But the reality is that God is everywhere. You know that. He is with you as you drive on the highway. He is with you when you are at work. He is with you when you take care of your children or grandchildren. He is with you every moment of your life. And that is another reason to give thanks to the Lord. Very often, we don't give God the thanks, the credits, and the glory that he truly deserves. And sometimes it makes me wonder, what if God began to treat us like we so often treat him? What if God met our needs to the same extent that we give him our lives? What if we never saw another flower bloom because we grumbled when God sent the rain? What if God stopped loving and caring for us because we failed to love and care for others? What if God stopped providing for us financially because we thought that it was only for us and not something to be used to bless others? What if God took away his message because we wouldn't listen to his messenger? What if he wouldn't bless us today because we didn't thank him yesterday? What if God answered our prayers the way we answered his call for us to follow him? What if God decided to stop leading us tomorrow because we chose not to follow him today? I hope that never happens. And so it doesn't. Let us purpose in our hearts to be thankful. Let us shout for joy to the Lord. Let us worship the Lord with gladness and come before Him with joyful songs. Make sure that you know the Lord, that He is God, that it is He who made us and that we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. So let us enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Let us give Him thanks and praise His name. For the Lord is good and His love endures forever, and His faithfulness continues for all generations.